Philippians 2 and 13. I prepared a message for this evening, and God preempted it with something else. And brother and sister Nowak are here, and every time they come from North Dakota to visit, they say, "You're never preaching." It's like somebody has sent a message. They're coming, and so get somebody else to preach. I am so sorry. But what you will hear tonight will far exceed anything that I could do. I was so impressed today. It's a DVD of... Brother Jeff Arnold from Florida. Brother Arnold is one of the greatest preachers in our ranks. Preaches general conferences and all over the world. He is, I guess, what you would call somewhat of a loose cannon. He just speaks his mind and just get ready, here it comes. But I watched this morning, and I was just so impressed that it will minister to this congregation. It ministered to me. And I believe that it will accomplish what God wants. Philippians 2 and 13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Some of you, just a few years ago, you would never have believed that you'd be standing in a service on a Wednesday night. Never. It's a miracle that I'm here. Never wanted to go to church. Look at the Word of God. I believed in God, but that was for those people who really had needed something. But God put a will in me. That I want to do something for him. I have to do something for him. Jesus, we ask, Lord, that you touch Angel Torres and Sister Schumacher tonight. And God, that you would bless the Word of God, that there'd be a holy unction on it. God, it will not return void. And what we'll hear, God, allow it to strengthen us in spirit and also physically, God. Increase our level of willingness and faith to see great things happen in our lives, oh God. That we are a nail in a sure place. I shall not be moved. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
Make your way back to your safety zone. I'd like to talk to you for a little while if I could. Appreciate all of you sweet people being here. And ditto on what Brother Heinold said about all the folks that help us and work. Those of you that were able yesterday to attend Tommy and Lizzie's wedding, it was just so pretty. And Brother Hinode had a lot of amazing and wonderful things to say, and glad you were able to be there. Glad to see Sonny. I saw Sonny and Nancy here somewhere. There they are. So glad to see you. God bless you. Saw Sister Hinode over here someplace. I saw her walk in before. We're glad you're here. And of course, I just saw India. Where's India? I saw India here someplace. Good to see you back home with us. Amen. And already said hello to the folks from Houston. We're glad you folks are visiting with us today. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I'm reading for the book of Exodus, chapter 35, verses 5, 21, 22, and 29. I'll be going to Ezekiel 33, and I'll be going to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. That pretty well will cover the whole Bible. Somewhere I'll find you. Amen. Exodus 35 and 5. I better start with verse 4 so you understand what this is all about. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Now watch this. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass. 21. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up, and every one whom his spirit made willing. Okay? 22. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. And they brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets and all jewels and gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Now, these people didn't have all these trinkets and toys. They stole them from Egypt. When they were leaving, that was Israel's back pay for 400 years of slavery. Now watch. He gave them all that stuff. Now, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but he never did tell them to put it back on. You told yourself to put it back on. He never told them to put it back on. Okay, I'm reading from Ezekiel. Ezekiel, I'm sorry I'm struggling here, but I'm just having a hard time seeing. Ezekiel 33 and 30. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still, that's so funny, how familiar this feels, still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, here they go, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art become unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. They hear thy words, but they do them not. One more scripture from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Don't mean to keep you standing so long. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Now watch this. And herein I give my advice. Now you understand, one is a command from the Lord, the other one is his advice. Right. One's a command, one's his advice. Now watch. For this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there has been a readiness to will, so there may be a performing also out of that which you have. Here's the key. For if there be first a willing mind, that's all I'm going to. If there be first a willing mind. I want to talk to you this morning on this subject, and I really wish you'd listen to me, okay? It's time to go beyond wanting to willing. It's time to go beyond wanting to willing. Because wanting and willing are not the same. They are poles apart. Lord, help me to be a blessing. I know things is tight in this place. But you're not all bound up, and neither am I. I just pray that you would just help me, that I can be a blessing to these people. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a wonderful church. In the book of Isaiah, the Lord made a very tremendous statement when he said in 1:18 of Isaiah, come now, let's reason together. Though your sins be scarlet, they'll be white as wool, and though they be red and crimson, they'll be white as snow. Then he said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the fat of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured, and even that by the sword. So I've got to get you to understand this. I know I'm never going to get this finished. I know I'm not. But let me give you the interpretation or what the dictionary says. Want, to have a desire, to wish for something, to long after, to crave. Willing, different, to make a choice, a deliberate action taken over what one wants or has been told. An act of one's volition, to consider and consent to do something specified or instructed. A deliberate exercise of one's decision to act upon. Now you got? When I read this scripture to you in the book of Exodus, it says, now the Lord commanded that they bring something. But he said, here's what's going to be the key to the command. If they have a willing heart. So when the Lord began to deal with me about this thing, I felt like he told me to tell you, tell my people that contrary to what the Pentecostal people believed, the issue is not truth. Now we make a big deal out of being blessed by God to have the truth of one God in Jesus' name, baptism and the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues. That is the truth. But the Lord dealt with me and said, but that's not the issue. Neither is it God's power or ability the issue. Neither is God's purpose, requirements, or commands the issue. Neither is it your or my desire to want something. That's not the issue. So whether it is commandment or my personal opinion, said Paul, here's the issue, willing. Because the word of God is the word of God, but if you and I are unwilling to comply with it, it's still the word of God. And the Lord said, I'm giving you a commandment. I want you to bring all this stuff that you got out of Egypt to make me a tabernacle and what have you. But said, I only want to receive it from those that have a willing heart. So you can have a command from God and not have a willing heart. Because if anything is rendered to God by force or coercion, it's not accepted. So many people among us really want to, but they're not willing to. So the thing that they desired is never experienced. Just think in the natural, normal world. People that have a desire, they want to drive a car, but they're not willing to learn how to drive one. There are people who like to buy an automobile, but they're not willing to pay for it. I watch Carrie and Elaine and all these people that play these instruments so beautifully, and I say down deep in my hypocritical self, boy, I want to do that. Of course, tied to that is I'm not willing to practice. Well, why do I care whether I'm willing? I want to. So if I want to, fingers do the job. I watch and listen many times to Justin, and he plays that sax so great, so wonderful. And I look at that, and in my mind, I go, almost say to him in a hypocritical moment, play a little blues, bro. Oh. And I really want to be able to play. I'm just not willing to take the time to practice. How many people among us want to have an education? You're just not willing to pass the test. You're not willing to do the homework. You're not willing to attend the class. But I really want to have a PhD or a master's. I just realized I missed you. I'm sorry, Chad and Carissa. I didn't see you sitting over there. So glad to have you home, at least for today anyway. Amen. There's people that want to have a good paying job, but they're not willing to do what's required to qualify for a good paying job. They just want to walk in and say, I'll take $200,000 a year, send the check to my house, and they're still flipping hamburgers. Say what? Because wanting and willing ain't the same. You can want all day long to please God, but if you're not willing to do what is required to please God, you're on a fool's journey. Well, I know I'm telling you good. I know I am. How many times have you heard me preach on Naaman, and that Naaman wanted to be healed? And he sent the letter, and he came up with his entourage, and he came down. He said, here, when you get this letter, heal my man of his leprosy. He misunderstood the intention. He thought he was trying to cause a fight or a war. And then he tore his garment. And then Elisha, I've often wondered, how did Elisha find out that the king tore his garment? But Elisha sent a word to him and said, hey, what are you tearing your clothes up for? Send that guy down to me that he might know there's a prophet in Israel. So here comes Naaman down to him, and he's filled with want. I need to pick up my finger. I want to be, part of my nose fell off. I want to be made whole because he's leprosy. That means his body's falling apart. I want to be healed. I want to be delivered. I want to. And I've come all the way down to the prophet who's got the power of God, and I want him to fix me. Now, his problem was his want was tied to what he thought it should be done. And when he came and the preacher didn't go outside to see him and send a servant, he gets ticked out of shape. Now watch, I want to be healed, but I'm not willing to do what I'm told. Wait, let me go a little further. I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven, but I will not do what God tells me to do. Thank you. Thank you very much, my friend. I hope you'll listen to what I'm trying to say. If you don't remember anything else I say, remember this. The root of all evil in this world, comes from the corruption of the human will. No devil forced Eve or Adam to eat that fruit and disobey God. And you can say all you want to about, well, I'm tempted so much, I just give in. No, the temptation's got not that, doesn't have that much power either. Now, wait a minute. The will of God's got all power, but he will not coerce you and he will not force you. He turns around and presents it to you. He steps back out of the situation and watches what your will do. I was sitting over there listening to that wonderful choir number, and the Lord just began to deal with me. I wrote on this little piece of paper. He said, that's why some of the people in your assembly, Brother Arnold, have a problem with attendance. They blame it on their paper cut. They blame it on they got to go somewhere. They blame it on something. No, the whole thing flows out. I will not attend. I don't care how bad or how good the preaching is, how bad or how good the singing is, the issue comes out of a corrupted will. If you and I will to do it, we can do it. If you and I will not to do it, we won't do it. I'm going to try it again. And truth has nothing to do with it. The truth will not coerce anybody. The truth will not force anybody. The truth is the truth, and the truth liberates people. But unless you and I exercise our will to act on that truth, the truth doesn't help us. So while I was sitting there just waiting to get up to talk, it's like the Holy Ghost started talking to me. He said, that's why you have different levels of worship and praise in your assembly, because their will holds them hostage. I don't care that the word says, clap your hands, all ye people. There's 50 people in this place will not clap their hands if Jesus Christ asked them to clap their hands, because the word will not coerce you. The word will direct you. The word will inspire you. But when it's finished, it hands it to you and I and steps back and see what will we do. The word says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He's talking to you sourpusses. He's talking to you lock-jawed Pentecostals. Make a joyful, I ain't gonna do it. Well, that's because your will is corrupted. You know what salvation is? Let me put it to you in simple. Here's what salvation is: a rectified will. Salvation is for anybody who wants it. But people have got ruptured, messed up, corrupted wills. That's why God offers to us the wonderful gift of repentance, because repentance helps rectify a messed up will. Say what you want to, baby, but the only thing that took the prodigal off the farm was his will. The father's love and his goodness and his kindness could not hold the boy there if the boy's will wanted to go someplace else. And I don't care how good sometimes God lets me preach for you, I cannot make you do right. I cannot make you come here. I cannot help you the way I want to help you. Your will gets in the way. I'm trying not to be unkind, but some of you folks that sit here for an hour and a half like this, there's a big placard over your head. My will's greater than you. My will's greater than God. My will's greater than anybody. I just do what I want to do because I will to do it. Remember, you have to will to do the will of God, because the will of God will not force you. I wish I had a witness in this house right now. I wish somebody would wave at me or say amen. Don't you remember the wonderful day when God put in his love conviction on you and you willed to get out of the seat and go to the altar and repent of your sins? Nobody dragged you. Nobody punched you in the face. They may have told you the truth and the Holy Ghost may have pricked your heart, but the whole thing was waiting to swing on one thing. I will go to the altar. And if you've ever been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
Ain't no preacher threw you in the water. Nobody took you by a chain and threw you there. Said, I will submit to water baptism in Jesus' name. So our will affects our worship. The will affects our praise. The will affects our attendance. I'm going to get a little nasty now. And the will affects whether we forgive or don't. Has nothing to do about being wronged, and it has nothing to do about having a divine mandate from God that says, you better forgive everybody, because if you don't forgive everybody, when you want forgiveness, I ain't going to forgive you. So it doesn't matter what the word said. It matters whether we will respond to what the word said. I'm going to talk to all you sourpusses right now. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Watch this. I will enter into his gates with praise. I will enter into his courts with thanksgiving. I will make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I will serve the Lord with gladness. It's not the truth. It's not the power of God. It's not the purpose and plan of God. It's my will. I'm talking good. I don't mean to be rude. I must really be getting old, because I'm doing a lot of apologizing and qualifying, thinking I never used to do that. I used to just throw it out there and let it hit where it hit. But I'm old now, and I'm half blind, and I'm half deaf, and I'm having a hard time. And I ain't got time for people just playing games. I'm going to say it right now. If this don't wake you up, you stay asleep. If you will to go to heaven, can't nothing stop you. I don't care how many failures you've made, how many people have hurt your feelings, how many divorces you went through, how many messes you dealt with. If I have decided I will get to the city, there ain't no devil big enough to shut me down. There ain't no person big enough to hold me hostage. That's why you sometimes, when you're in a hole, you gotta say, I will come out of this. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I will come out of this. Don't be held hostage by that disguised demon of, I want to. Because wanting don't do nothing. It just lets a desire in you. I want to be like that. I want to be like him, and I want to please God, and I want to serve God, and I want to be saved, and I want to go to heaven. Guess what? You can whistle that tune all day long. Nothing happens. Let me try it again. Naaman came down and says, I want to be. Sonny says, I want to be healed. So the preacher says, well, I'll tell you how to be healed. Go dip seven times in the Jordan. He said, I'm not willing to do that. Are you stupid? Are you an ignorant fool? Part of your toe just fell off. Your nose is hanging off your face. You're trying to get healed of leprosy. You want to be healed. If you read the story, when those servants came to that guy, he said, look, if he asked you to do some great thing, you'd have been glad to do it, because you're a mighty man of valor. You're a warrior. Man, you're a fighter. He asked you to do some simple thing that you don't understand. And it was the servant's desire and their declarations that changed his will. I don't want to hurt you. Why do I keep saying that? I must be really getting old. I don't want to hurt nobody. Used to be, I didn't care whether it hurt you or not. We're in a battle right now. I'm fighting some of the craziest spirits I've never fought before in my life. We are so close to the coming of the Lord. We're raising a generation that will not comply and will not obey, but they want me to change the message, change the conditions, make it easier. I have no permission to do that. It's still one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, above you all, through you all, and in you all. There's only one hope of your calling. There's only one name whereby you can be saved. There's only one door. There's only one way to be baptized. There's only one way to feel the Holy Ghost. There's only one way to live. And I will not let the pressure from the pew get me to change what I know is right. I don't want to be rude, but I'm not changing the menu because you came to the restaurant. It ain't going to happen. I'm about ready to puke in my shoe over all these Pentecostal wackos all over this movement that are trying to make everything more people friendly and people nice and people this. You better watch out for that kind of stuff. That's that damnable demon of wanting. So you can want and never will.
You can sit down. I don't mean to hurt nobody. I'm not saying that no more, so it's over. That's why some of you sweet people, and you are sweet people, but why you struggle with being faithful with tithing. It's not a fact that the Bible says it's right for us to do it. And it's not a fact that the Holy Ghost says you're better off doing that. It's that your will says, like H, I will. And my H doesn't stand for Honolulu. And I don't care how many nice things he does. I don't care how many things he comes up with that we need a sanctuary offering. We need this and we need that. No, no. God himself walks up to your life and tells you, this is a commandment. And you walk back and say, I will not do it. And God says, fine. And he just walks away. I was reading the scriptures over in Mark 6 when Jesus went to Nazareth. Let me show you how powerful the will is. Their will overrode Jesus' will. His will was to heal everybody in the city. His will was to bless everybody in the city. But their will said, we don't want you here. Get out of here. And he said, okay, your will overrides mine. Stay sick. And he allowed their will to impact his will. Are you ready for this, boys and girls? Do you realize what our salvation is? It caused the incarnation. What caused the incarnation? God was not willing that any perish. So God's will gave birth to the incarnation. And God's will gave birth to Calvary's cross. And God's will gave birth to the shedding of the blood. And God's will helped build the church. And God's will reached for you and I. You realize the whole thing turned around in the Garden of Eden when Jesus prayed this prayer, not my will, but thy will be done. That's the battleground.
I don't know whether you get what I said when he turned around in Exodus 35. He said, let them bring me an offering. Watch. Those that are of a willing heart. Not by force. Not by mandate. Watch this. Not even by commandment. It says, whose spirit made them willing. No parent likes to have to keep correcting their children and spanking them and punishing them. Well, you love to have it when finally your child learns the lesson and they willingly do. Yes. Yeah, I don't have my... Let me try it again. I thought I had a great message. Paul gave us the key to everything. The key to divine release is simply this. There must first be a willingness of mind and heart. If there's not a willingness of mind and heart, it's just religion. Brother Hinode or myself or anybody else shouldn't have to always come up here and rant and rave and said about praise and worship.
I said I wasn't going to say that anymore, so I'm not going to say that anymore. I'll say something else. If you hurt, tough. Let me help you with it. I don't care how many times we ask you to come to 5:30 prayer. The prayer room is usually empty. You know what keeps you back? Your will. Not the command, not the mandate, not the requirement, not the suggestion, not the plea. That doesn't keep you back. Your will keeps you back. Now, I'm going to wait. That's worth about 60 seconds. I'm just going to wait on that one. The only reason some of you sweet Pentecostal people don't lift your hands, you will not to. You ready for this? Because the will is the master of the heart. And we Pentecostals have made feelings and emotion the master of the heart. But it's not. It's easy to worship God and give to God and live right when you feel like it. But we are not supposed to be people that are mandated by how we feel. I got to live for God when I don't feel good. I got to worship God when I don't feel good. I got to give my money when I don't think I can do it. I'm going to try it again. Thank you for using it and clapping. I'm going after you that are super glued to your seat. Here's why you don't worship. Here's why you don't smile. Here's why you don't do right. Your will's in the way. Anybody can have a big time when the Holy Ghost is blowing in like a mighty wind. Anybody can just pay their tithes or give to the church when they got a bunch of money left over somewhere. But will you do it because your heart has been moved? That scripture in Exodus 35 said, and they gave, watch, because their hearts were made willing by the Spirit. Well, I know Brother Highnote oftentimes up here taking an offering up says, you know, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And you probably don't hear what I say, but every time I'm over there, I always say, but he will take money from a grouch. The only problem is the grouch don't get blessed. The reason why some of us don't apologize to other people is because we will not. We know we ought to. We know we should. But I will not. That's why some of you don't read the Bible very much. You will not. That's why I read that scripture in Ezekiel. Son of man, your people are talking against you by the walls and the doors. And they're talking to each other and say, let's go hear what the Lord's got to say. But we ain't going to do what he said. He said, so you become like one that can sing and has a lovely voice or someone that can play an instrument well. They will listen to you, but they will not do what you tell them. That's Frustration Valley for a preacher. And I want to clear the air. That's not coercion, and that's not human control. That's offering people the chance to use their will. Because nothing happens worthwhile in my life or yours until we experience and keep renewing a rectified will. Remember, it was the prodigal's will that took him off the farm. It was the prodigal's will that took him back. If he was waiting to feel like something, he didn't feel real good, sonny, sitting in the mud with all the pigs. He didn't have no Jeff Arnold tapes to lift him up. He just listened to oink, oink, stink, stink, oink, oink, stink, stink. He said, you know what? I use my will to leave the farm. I'm going to use my will to get back to the farm. Because it is the will that needs to be the master of our hearts and not our emotions and not our feelings. Man, I wish I could have preached this one. We didn't have everything so locked up. Oh, my God. See, Those four lepers in 2 Kings 7, they're sitting at the gate. You've heard this 100 times, I'm sure. They turned around and said, why sit we here till we die? If we go in a city, everybody's in there. They're eating their kids. They're cannibals. We're going to die in a city. Said, if we sit here still, we're going to die here. So in youth terminology, let's bust a move. He said, let's go to the Syrians. Now watch this. Here's the mandate that helps you in your will. If they kill us, we shall but die. We're going to die in there. We're going to die here. So what are you going to lose? Let me ask you something. How long has it been that you've been willing to die to try? And when God saw these four lepers walking, now this is just me, okay? But I know me is right, but it's still just me. God amplified 8 footsteps. Because the Bible said as they went towards the Syrian, the Lord just turned up the amplifiers, and those 8 footsteps sounded like a mighty army invading the Syrians. So God's got so much power, if you use your will, he can scare your enemy to death. He can cause them to run away. You see, he's in charge of the visual department, and he's in charge of the audio department. The chapter before, the Bible said Elijah had opened his eyes, and he saw the hills and the mountains full of the host of the Lord. He was the one that brought that host. He saw. The next time he said, he don't need to see. These guys need to hear. You know what? Sometimes we're so terrified, we hear one stupid little demon. Man, you need to start using your will and start doing what God wants you to do. And God can make it. And that thing that's trying to intimidate you, and that thing that's trying to hold you hostage, and that thing that's making you less than you are, when you use your human will, it releases divine will. I'm sorry, I didn't give you this scripture. I want you to go to Judges. Would you go to Judges for me? I'm not getting anywhere here, so I'm just going to preach till I feel like I'm done. Judges 3, verses 1 and 2. Now we know the story that Haman hates the Jews. And so he's get the king to put out a mandate to kill Esther and kill all the Jews. And then Mordecai comes to her, chapter 5, comes to her and says, look, there's a mandate out here. They're going to kill all our people. I want you to go to the king that somehow, some way, if you make contact with him, he might spare us. Now, this is what Mordecai wants. But wanting ain't getting nothing done. So she turns around and cops this typical Pentecostal plea. Well, I haven't been called before the king in 30 days. And everybody knows in the palace everywhere that if anybody goes barging into that interior court there without being called by the king, there's only one response for that, death. You're going to die. Now watch, she says, well, listen, lady, don't think you're hiding in this palace and you're going to get by. Said, who knows whether you were brought to the kingdom for such a time as this? Now watch what Esther says. Well, get them folks to fast for me out there, and I'll fast, and my maidens. Watch what he said. And I will go before the king. And if I die, well, I'll die trying. We need to reach a level in our spiritual walk that we're willing to die to change things. We're willing to experience negative things to experience positive things. Are you willing to try to change what's wrong in your life? Now, I'm emotional. And everybody that's ever been around here very long knows that I'm given to emotion. I'm given to sweating and spitting and exciting. And I just love it. I'm that way. But I promise you, in God's name,
promise you, all the years I've lived for God, that does not mandate my will. The word of God does, the mercy of God does, the grace of God does. And I'll bless him whether I feel anything. And I'll pay my tithes whether I feel anything. And I'll give to the work of God whether I feel anything. And I'll attend regular whether I feel anything. Here's why you are like you are. Your will says, don't praise. Don't sing. And some of you people, boy, your will has knocked you for a loop. Stay sourpussed. Don't smile. And for God's sake, whatever you do, don't try to encourage that stupid preacher. Make that dirtbag work himself into a tizzy to get a little from you. I've heard Carrie sing that song over the years. Move me with your prayer, your spirit, or your presence once again. That's what I feel is happening to me right now in these last few moments of my ministry here. You are sitting there saying, move me, preacher. Make me feel good, preacher. Convince me, preacher. I'm not going to help you. And the Holy Ghost comes on you and says, come on, pray. I will not. Well, come on, repent. I will not. And then after that's happened, you leave the church and you damn the preacher, you damn the church, you damn the congregation, because it's not feeding you. It's not ministering to you. It's not helping you. No, your problem is your will's holding you hostage. I'll preach whether we have good music or not. I'll live for God whether things are going my way or not. I have determined my will is going to be the master of my heart, not how I feel or how emotional I want to be. You be seated. I didn't mean to wake everybody up at once. I think that's you, Brother Frank. Is that you? Yeah, that's you. Okay. Ready? I don't care how much money you make and what a wonderful job God's blessed you with. I'm happy for it. That's not the issue. You do not go to work because you get money. Your will takes you to work. And then you get the money. Because if you're working and your will is not involved with it, you're a lousy employee. Because when we do things against our will, we do nothing but breed frustration. I noticed yesterday in that wedding, I thought that was kind of neat when Brother Hino finally said to Tommy, he said, okay, you may now kiss your new bride. And Lizzie was just dressed up so pretty, and she's looking at him. And I couldn't hear because I'm half deaf, but Tommy didn't say, do I have to? He was kind of like, will I? It's like some of you sweet people. Do I have to praise God? Do I have to come to church? No, stay home. All right, stay home. Do I have to praise and worship? No, stay home. Show God how powerful your will is by telling him to shut up. I got a statement going on in my body and mind right now. I will not die, but I will live and declare the works of the Lord. I will not give up, no matter how discouraged I get, how defeated I feel. I will not. I will not. The Bible said if you're going to have victory, there must first be a willingness of the heart and mind. Are you willing to go through whatever you got to go through to get to the city? I'm almost there. I'm almost there. Amen.
Just bear with me just a minute. Just a minute. You know, Israel wanted the death angel to pass over their houses. The only folks that were spared were the folks willing to apply the blood. You got to be a stupid fool for God to say a death angel's coming. He's going to kill everybody, the firstborn in the house that doesn't have the blood, and that you and I are dumb enough to say, well, you think I'm going to kill a lamb and put the blood on my door? I just painted that door. I just got it all whitewashed. Why do I want to put some stupid lamb's blood on there? If you knew what was coming, you'd be willing to put the blood on. I know the Antichrist is coming, but I'm not worried about him. I know Jesus Christ is coming, and he's going to help me, and he's going to strengthen me, and he's going to bless me. Woo! I'm almost there. Let me try it again. I'm going slow. There must first of all be a willing mind and heart. If you have a willing mind and heart, you ain't got to feel nothing. Now, I hope that never happens right here, because I'll go crazy. I like feeling the presence of the Lord. I like to feel the surge that comes out of your wonderful praise and worship. I love to feel when that choir sings and they're just blessed of God and there's an anointing on them. I like to feel what's coming out of that. But if they have an off day, like sometimes I have an off day, and it doesn't flow so good, I will still praise God. I will still worship God. I will do it. I want to show you something. I'm almost done. I'm not finished. I'm just going to stop, okay? This is beating me up here. This is beating me up here. You just don't see what I see. We're just like them Jews, preacher. We come to hear what you got to say. We ain't going to do a doggone thing you say. God indicted them and said, they come before you like my people. You become like a lovely singer of a song. They will listen to you, watch, but they will not do what you say. God, that is religion at its worst. Read for me, Rev.
Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them.
Nope, you got the wrong scripture. Judges 3, 1 and 2. It's Deborah talking.
That's Judges 3 and 1.
Time out. I got Judges 3:1 here right now. Then sang Deborah and Barak and said, praise ye the Lord for avenging Israel. Here we go. When the people willingly offered themselves. If you want a release of the divine, you got to willingly offer yourself to do what God wants you to do. Because earth can impact heaven. I don't know about you, but I'm fighting some situations and devils and demons and human spirits. I need the Holy Ghost to be released into my life. Well, God says, if you want me to act for you, then be willing to offer yourself. How long has it been since some of you sweet people have offered yourself afresh? That's what I said. Oh, did I say Judges? He's forgiven. He's forgiven. I thought I said Judges 5. Don't trust him with your soul.
Good.
Said, and thank God, praise God, for avenging Israel when they willingly offered themselves. Now you notice they were in a massive battle. If you read that Judges 5, you need to go home and read that. That'll scare the fire out of you. You read Judges 5, turns around and says, whoa. Said there were great stirrings, great questions in the heart of Reuben,
said, why didn't he get involved in the work? Why didn't he get involved in the fight? Well, I don't give a flip about you and your stupid fight. I just want the victory. If you read chapter 5, it'll scare you. Because after they talked about woe for the things that were going on in Reuben's heart, and woe for Naphtali, and woe for this one, how come they abode in the ships? How come they sat on the beach getting a copper-toned tan when we were in a fight over here? Said, because there's people that go to church, all they want is the victory. They want no skirmish, no fight, no bloodletting, no self-denial, no crucifying. I just want good church. But after she's talking, it's terrifying because there's a supernatural being that steps into that chapter in chapter 5 and says, and the angel of the Lord came among them and said, curse ye Miraz for not coming to the help of the Lord. An angel came down and said, you people that are not willing to fight for God and willing to fight for your own soul, curse you. Buddy, there ain't no human being going to get rid of a heavenly curse. That ain't going to happen. That angel came from heaven with a mandate from God saying, curse people who don't use their will for God. That's terrifying. Curse ye Miraz for not coming to the help and aid of the Lord. Now, the Lord don't need no help. But he's talking about fighting the battles of God. Why didn't they join to fight? Why? Why did they stay back? Because there's lots of saints who would rather be safe than skirmish. That's why the prayer room's empty. I'm almost finished. Rich young ruler. It's 11:30. Rich young ruler comes running down to Jesus. Watch. He wants eternal life. Smart man, so do I. I want eternal life. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Good question. Great desire. But remember, want doesn't do anything. He said, well, thou knowest the scriptures. Do not kill, do not commit adultery, do not bear false witness. So he's Jewish. Because Gentiles don't have the law. This is a Jewish man. And he says, all these have I kept from my childhood. What lack I yet? And the Bible said, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. In other words, he looked right through him, beholding him, loved him. He said, thou lackest one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And he became unwilling. Because the will can override the want. He said, I will not do that. I want to be saved on my terms. Like that silly Naaman. I want to be healed on my terms. But when he finally became willing, thank God for servants in our lives that are not any big deals that convince us to change. What? Let me try it again. What is repentance? Rectifying the will. Turning it around, metanoia. Amen. Reversal, change direction. Can't none of us in this building, me first, make any changes and go and do a better thing if we don't change our will. I'm telling you, folks, the will is so powerful. Listen, God dealing with that silly man, Pharaoh, the stuff that he pulled off in those 10 plagues, that was kid stuff. Flies, locusts, darkness, murrain, hail, that was kid stuff. You know what the battle was that God was dealing with? Pharaoh's will. What you don't want to do is get to a position where God finally got to kill something in your life and now you change your will. I mean, the Lord didn't want to kill that boy.
The Lord wanted to use these other plagues and these episodes to change the guy's will. Let my people go. I ain't letting them go. My will's greater than you. Okay, here's some locusts. Here's some flies. Here's some frogs. Here's some. I don't care. I'm not letting you go. I said, okay, I'll kill the boy. I'll let you go. And I like that, JC. This is a good one. The Bible says that when he went to go, and he says, take thy people with thee and get out of here. And just before Moses gets out of the court, he's got his will so changed because he's got a dead kid on his hands. He turns around and says, oh, Moses, don't leave yet. Don't leave. And Moses says, I thought you just threw me out. He says, no, bless me before you go. Bless me before you go. These people that are driving you nuts, that are driving you crazy, that are causing your life a bunch of hell and chaos and trouble, you just keep trying to do the will of God, and you'd be surprised. God can so change their wills around that they might turn around and ask you to pray for them. Woo! I'm almost done. All these wonderful miracles that are recorded in the New Testament. You know what happened? Three things. They heard about Jesus. They had faith in Jesus. Watch. And they became willing to act. Doesn't matter what you believe in Jesus and what you've heard about Jesus, if it doesn't move you to use your will to make contact. The woman with the issue of blood, she used her will to touch him. Mark 2, the guy going through the roof, she used his will. Use his will to touch him. The man that he put mud on his eyes, John 9, he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now the mud in his eyes didn't do nothing. The spittle in his eyes didn't do nothing. His wanting to see didn't do nothing. His moving towards the pool did something. I know I've said this before, and I can say it again. How do you find the pool? First he was blind, and now he's got mud cakes on his eyes. How does he find the pool? The only thing I can figure, and I may be wrong, but I doubt it. He met somebody that knew where the pool was and said, could you help me get to the water? Do you know why we have this church? God has allowed us to see better than other people by his mercy. But we are supposed to help people that are blind spiritually and help them get to the waters of life so they can see like we see. The only reason a lot of us folks in this church don't ever witness to anybody, don't testify to anybody, don't invite anybody to church is your will won't act. Now, your knowledge knows you should be doing it, but your will stands in the way. You ready? I'm closing. The Gadarene is the original streaker that wear no clothes. He's got almost 12,000 demons in him, and his will was stronger than theirs. If I was as strong as some of you think that those or the demons are as strong as you think they are, they would have run him on the backside of the mountain, put him in a hole somewhere in a cave, and kept him away from Jesus. If your will wants to get to him, devils can't hold you back. Hurts can't hold you back. Mistreatment can't hurt you back. No. Can't nothing hold me back. If I decide to use my will, heaven's on my side. You can stand with me now. I'm just going to shut up. I just want to just make a little statement here before I go home. It's real simple. Are you willing to do his will? I didn't say are you able, because most 95 and 99% of us, we are not able to do what God wants for us to do. But I'm telling you something. If you'll use your will, he's able to strengthen you. He's able to help you. He's able to answer prayer. He's able to turn things around if you will use your will. Gideon was no match for all those Midianites.
He didn't have the ability. God had the ability by using his will. Gideon said, well, you can have my availability. And 300 men with a little torch and a pitcher and blowing a horn wipes out a whole cathedral of people. You know, I look at this story, and I'm sorry to be so long-winded, but, you know, I'm a dying man. I'm losing everything I got. I want to just swing it before I go. All of Israel wanted victory over Goliath. Only a little boy was willing to take him on. Don't let the size or the magnitude of what is contending with you shut your will down. I read 1 Samuel 17. I wrote it in my notes here. Here's what David said. Let no man fear because of this man. Watch what he says. I will go and fight against him. Everybody else wanted victory. Nobody's willing to fight. Are you willing to experience a changed mind, a rectified will? If you need forgiveness, come pray. If you need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins, we'll baptize you. If you need the Holy Ghost talking in tongues, we'll pray for you. If you're sick in your body and you need a healing touch, use your will, because the woman of the issue used it, the Syrophoenician used it, the nobleman used it, Mark 2 used it, Bartimaeus used it. Every one of these people that experienced miracles used their will in the...
I told you it'd be better than what I could do. Would you stand with me, please? I don't know about you, but that ministered to me. Amen, amen. What are you willing to do? Because God's going to back you. Amen, amen. In Mark, the second chapter, there's a phrase that Jesus said. He said, when I saw their faith. Well, how do you see faith? You see faith by action. When he saw them tear off the roof, they were willing to tear off the roof in order to get the man healed. And you know what that constitutes as far as God is concerned is faith. I saw their faith. Amen. Glory to God. Whatever you need tonight, why don't you come to the altar? But you have to be willing.